and Rometty nearly dispossessed by Youngberg. LGP slides to send it up to Barco. Ezekiel playing it through to Almiron, now left attacking third. Almiron's cross for Joseph. Score! They're going to do it!
They did it. That's the official call right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The voice of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti, and of course his partner, the analyst, Jason Longshore, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline right now.
And Jason's succinct analyst last night was, as that goal was going in. Obviously, the guy's been up all night, and we're not letting this guy get any sleep. And Jason, unbelievable. By the way, how you feeling, brother? How you doing?
I'm a little tired. It's been a long, 30-something hours now, but it's been a while. Last night, though, that's a special moment. Oh. You know, Atlanta United has had some moments where you've come back to get draws, but that type of moment, you need that emotional moment in what could be a championship kind of season.
We're going to work from the start to the finish. I think I incorrectly identified it as a 4-3-3. It was a 3-5-2 last night, but they had Escobar out there, yes?
Yeah, it was interesting because you didn't know what San Jose was going to do. So there was a little bit of cat and mouse between both teams. San Jose listed as a 4-4-2, Atlanta listed as a 4-3-3, and neither one played that to start.
Gotcha.
Atlanta came out 3-5-2, San Jose came out 4-5-1, and Atlanta adjusted to a 4-2-3-1 based off what San Jose did.
Jason Longshore joining us. What was the turning point for you? I thought the overturn on the VAR – and obviously the penalty goal there, I just felt like up until that point, I didn't think it was going to happen for us. For whatever reason, I just didn't have the feeling or the energy, and then I thought things changed. What do you think the turning point was?
There were a couple. I mean, the goal from Tito at the end of the first half kept it alive, and I liked where Atlanta was at that point coming into the second half. You expect a bounce after Tito gets that amazing goal. And second half, Vaco with just an amazing individual effort for San Jose, beat three defenders, makes it 3-1, and it looks like it might be done. The thing about Atlanta United last night, though, even though they didn't have their best stuff, even though it was maybe the worst performance of the year since Houston, I mean, right. you could make that argument, they didn't stop. They didn't quit fighting. And sometimes – that's all you have. You know, you're not always going to have your best stuff. You're not always going to be in sync. This has been a long trip. You were in Denver. You're in San Jose for the week. You know, you got a bunch of guys probably ready to get back to their normal routine and get home. And it was just flat.
Now, I'm telling you, Jason, it was so frustrating. Again, and Carl and guys are breaking my chops because I tuned it out at 3-1. I said, there's no shot here. I took some melatonin. I'm out. And then I wake up this morning and I see the highlights, and it's just unbelievable. Another thing is, and we've talked about this before, is Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshore to get your favorite takes on United. What about like the Miggy performance and how much more confidence? We always know he's been a facilitator, but he does that, and he's also finishing goals.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's also doing things defensively. You know, you go back and dig into the numbers from this one. Miguel Almiron led Atlanta United in successful tackles. It's that all-out effort. And that's the thing that Tata Martino has talked about with Almiron. You look at the speed. You look at what he does in creating for others. He is in double-digit goals now. But the biggest element of Miguel Almiron is in a game like this, where it does kind of come down to guts. Miguel Almiron is going to fight for you the whole match, and that is contagious within a squad.
Jason, they already set the record for road wins, right? The points record is next. And I think it's Toronto who owns that record. But it's within reach. I mean, there are some other things that are going on here in the process of not only winning, that this team is accomplishing from a team standpoint.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, there are only 9 teams in Major League Soccer history who have had a better season than what Atlanta United has done right now. If they lost their last 5 games, they would still be the 10th best all-time team in Major League Soccer history. You have 5 games left. You win 3, you equal what Toronto did last year when they set the record with 69 points.
This is
a schedule that is definitely doable to win more than 3.
Right.
Jason Longshore, sorry to cut you off, Jason. Your pregnant pauses are excusable because you've been up all night. Our man who again, you're here with Mike Conti right here on your home of United, and hopefully we can make it 3 wins in 1 week's time against Real Salt Lake on Saturday. The VAR call. Carl and I started the show talking about it. We've had our share of good luck and bad luck with VAR. I mean, was it called accurately? Because you could argue the same thing. We were allowed to keep a goal against Columbus a few weeks ago at home.
No, this was 100% accurate, and I think this is where I've been frustrated with seeing some of the national media on it. There was nothing wrong about the way VAR was used here. The ball did not go out of bounds. There was no stoppage in play for the referees to have a chance to look at the VAR, look at the replay. So when the next stoppage is after Wondolowski puts it in the back of the net. You could tell immediately that the referee, Fotis Bazakos, was talking to his video assistant referee. There was a conversation going on, and that's why you start to, you know, see the San Jose players going over to complain. You see the Atlanta players going over to complain. Once it was getting reviewed, we knew they were going back to the handball in the box because that's the only thing that could have been reviewed. And when the goal's overturned, it has to be a penalty the other way. It's awkward because you didn't stop the play immediately, but that's not how VAR works. It's at the next stoppage is when the referee has that full conversation. This one, the next stoppage, just happened to be after a goal the other way.
So is that what soccer purists have the problem with, the fact that you've allowed like 10 or 11 seconds to expire, and then, well, now you got to go back and stop it?
I mean, the alternative would be to blow the whistle every time you think there might be something.
Right.
And then have that conversation. And that would be worse, in my opinion, because then you have no rhythm to a match.
What's going to happen over the next couple of days for our guys? Are they training, or do they get a couple of days off? What happens here?
A lot of rest today. Tomorrow, they are doing probably a light training session, probably a lot of walkthroughs, maybe some set piece work, not anything majorly physical, because you're turning around and playing again on Saturday against Real Salt Lake, a team who did not play midweek and definitely didn't fly across the country last night. So you have to be as fresh as you can. I'm looking at Real Salt Lake in that match on Saturday. Think back to the Columbus game on the road earlier this season where Atlanta came off the trip to Yankee Stadium, right, where they had to hold on at Yankee Stadium to get that draw. Columbus, they came out very methodical, very patient, very deliberate, and controlled possession and kind of settled into the game. I'd look for that type of game plan on Saturday night.
Now, obviously, because Nagby's back and Rometty can do so many things, what's up with Barco?
It's just the fit. And last night, you had the idea you were probably going to play 3-5-2 because San Jose generally plays two up top. The question was, with a new manager, would they stick to that? And they didn't. In the 3-5-2, it comes down to a decision between Tito Villalba and Ezequiel Barco. Ezequiel Barco plays that second forward role a little more like a midfielder, sits a little deeper, looking to combine with others. Tito is more of a goal-scoring threat. And you need that secondary goal-scoring threat in that formation, I think, to keep teams honest. So in the 3-5-2, Tito's the better fit right now. Mm-hmm. Barco came off the bench and had a great impact in the second half.
Let's address the rumors that are out there. Mike is and I have been talking about this for the last few days. We even talked to Darren Eales about it, and you know, he gave us as much as he possibly could. Is it true that Atlanta United is making a formal offer to extend Tata? What do you know about all these rumors that are circling around our manager?
The rumors really escalated yesterday with an ESPN Deportes radio program where a report citing unnamed sources was given that Tata Martino was not going to renew his contract. ESPN Deportes also said in the summer of 2016 that Andres Guardado was going to be an Atlanta United player. That didn't happen. So you never know with these things. Tata Martino told Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last night that an offer has been made and he's considering it. And that October 1st deadline is the date that's out there. We'll see if we get an answer before that or if things get extended. But that's all we know at this point. Tata, you know, the unnamed sources, he'd like to know who they are too.
Remember, guys, we said earlier, Jason, Tata does not have an agent. And in other, I don't know how it works in soccer. I know in other sports, the agent's the guy who creates these stories to drive interest in the client. So, like I said, unless Tata's, you know, changing his voice, I hear Tata's going to Mexico and leaving messages on reporters' voicemail.
Who was that?
No, that's Tata changing his voice.
Like he's held hostage.
I understand Tata might be going to Mexico. I'll hang up and listen. But anyway, Jason, so what'd your gut tell you? I mean, don't mess with Happy. The Mexico job, you're not going to make it to the World Cup because it's Mexico. It's a soap opera. I mean, is he better off staying here? Because Arthur could maybe get the checkbook out and make him a very happy man, right?
If it's down to Mexico or Atlanta United, it's a no-brainer to stay with Atlanta United. The Mexico job isn't really that appealing outside of a big, fat paycheck. Now, the Columbia job is a little different because Tata Martino nearly took that before Jose Pekerman did, and Pekerman had the best two World Cup run in Colombian soccer history. Tata Martino knows that he could have had that. Now they have one of the best young generations in the world at the national team level that he might be able to take to the next level if he wanted to take that job. Argentina, that's another one that's out there and might feel like unfinished business because he didn't get a chance to do everything he wanted to do last time he was there. There were tons of issues with the Argentine Soccer Federation, and Tata Martino left the job, and one of the reasons was he wasn't getting paid and the promises that were being delivered to him were not being kept. It's a little bit different situation with the federation now. The president is somebody that he's comfortable with and a friend of his. So it's a different conversation at this point. Argentina and Colombia, I think, are the two that do have appealing qualities, but it's hard to match what Tata Martino has here in Atlanta with Arthur Blank as the owner, with Darren Eales as the chief executive, and all of the resources that Tata Martino has to just be able to work.
It is interesting. We're going to keep an eye out on what's going on. You need to keep your eyes closed. Take a nap, man. You deserve it. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
Nah, thanks, y'all.